Hello and welcome to another episode of Minnesota Rocker. Today is a super special episode for us. We have our first guest in quite a while. You got your usual suspects in me, Ashley or Midnight, the content director here for Minnesota Rocker. And then you got Brett Diamond, the COO. And today we have none other than the legend himself, Hector Rodriguez, or Hex, as he is known. Hector, how are you doing today? Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. And thank you for being patient with me. Just so everybody knows, this podcast was supposed to be recorded yesterday, but I thought that yesterday was yesterday or the day before yesterday. All the days are the same. I figured that in this space specifically, it makes it even more difficult to know what days you are. You know, unlike traditional and regular workforce where they work from Monday through Friday and then they have the weekend off, we don't. We're 7 days a week. And everything, it just gets crazier. You know, you know your days by how busy the restaurants you usually visit on a Friday and Saturday, if it's a Friday or a Saturday.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
Thank you for that patience.
Oh, absolutely. It's no problem. We're happy to accommodate. And I think, like, why I wanted to have you on is obviously because we go way back. I mean, for those of you that don't know, you know, I was part of Optic Gaming for that, like, 10-year period. Can you believe, Hector? Actually, it's 2020 now. I joined Optic in 2010. And 10 years ago, we were, I think it was like that highlight summer of Modern Warfare 2, creating YouTube videos, doing that whole thing, Machinima, all that stuff. And now here we are 10 years later, obviously different paths now, but somewhat in the same, like, kind of, we're still in the same realm. We're you know, we've evolved to this level.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Dude, absolutely. And I think, you know, for us being a part of the same team and now being on different teams, it still feels super familiar though. Like when we get back together and talk, you're my brother for life. And I think it's awesome to, even though we're on our separate paths now, like we're still kind of walking next to each other a little bit.
100%.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And the second I get a chance, I'm gonna steal you. I'm kidding. Brett, chill. I'm kidding.
Listen.
No, it's funny. Hector, I think I said this to you the first time we met, but obviously you're the godfather of everything in the COD scene. But I feel like you're especially the godfather of this team, given how influential Ashley's been to this organization from day one and your impact on her from going way back. So it's awesome to have you on the podcast. And
I never know how to take those compliments. Like Godfather, I don't consider myself, especially not Call of Duty. Obviously, I guess we were in very early on, but I don't know. It's hard to take those compliments. I appreciate it though, and thank you for giving her a good home. I told you the second something is afoot, let me know. But nothing but good stories from your camp. So thank you so much. We're taking care of my sister is what I'm saying. Thank you.
This podcast is generally a love fest. So, you know, whoever we have on, it's always a love fest.
Unless
Gary's on and he's screaming Chicago, which is fine. Fine.
What did you make of that? When Gary just came out swinging, mm-hmm. and then there was obviously like before the home or the launch event weekend, when Gary's, we're trying to set up this like rivalry thing and Gary's saying F Chicago. What did you think of that? I mean, you go back with Gary, so give a little bit of details. Like what's it been like kind of having a new rival in Gary?
I love it. Obviously, you know, we have a little bit of history, but even when he said that, like he's so on brand in how competitive he is, especially when it comes to sports. Like he's a competitive man in nature, but when it comes to sports and, you know, now esports, he is like above and beyond, you know, anything. I don't remember when it was I was talking to him, but I saw a video, and I don't know if it was from Ty or from D-Rock, but I saw a video of them playing basketball, and my man Gary goes up, makes a layup, grabs the ball that he just made and throws it, making the opposing team go chase it. I'm like, it's 6 a.m. and this guy's like going that hard. I'm like, I would never play with you, bro. I love basketball. Basketball's been my thing, and that is bogus. So, but that's how competitive he is.
That it's funny to me kind of watching that interaction, because you're that as well. Maybe not in the sense of throwing the basketball and just being like, F you, go get it, but you are like the most competitive person. You're a competitive loser, a competitive winner. You're just a competitive person. And so to see like these two giant sharks, I guess, in this competition between you and Gary, I think it adds a lot. And I think it's only just starting too.
Yeah. I know. Well, I am super competitive. You know, nowadays when I'm, you know, I don't have as much time to play Warzone as I would like to get actually good at it. And I'm always like the lowest scoring teammate on there. And, you know, I mean, for the last 2 years, I think I've been the lowest performing UMU member. And
I don't know, man. There's Fwiz has his moments where he's not the best. You guys are competing at the bottom a little bit.
Well, yeah, but Fwiz doesn't. Fwiz has less time than anybody to play video games anyway. But you know, I look over at Hutch's chat, and when they take a moment of clarity to not talk politics, and they're roasting me, I literally think to myself, I'm like, you're wasting your breath. I live with me, and I hate losing. I don't like this. You think I'm happy with this thing? I have to live with myself, knowing that I just dropped 5 and everybody else got 12s. You know, so. It doesn't bother me, obviously, but yeah, super competitive.
I'm picturing you in the mirror just saying the same things that you read in Twitch chat back to you, like, God, step it up, bottom of the leaderboard again.
Hex is getting carried.
One thing I kind of wanted to ask about is obviously with your just, it's been an insane experience. Like I said at the beginning, like 10 years ago, we were doing a completely different thing, and now 10 years, we are here. We're in, you know, technically we're both a part of new brands that need building. Taking what we learned from the last 10 years and everything that you've done so far, what do you want to take with you into the next 10 years?
My friendships, whether it's with my teammates, ex-teammates like you, sponsors, you know, I think friendships above anything else makes my job easier, makes this space what it is. I think it's one of the main points that people don't understand about this space is that as much as there's a big business here, it all stems from a community sort of grassroots movement that happened through friendships that were forged in a lobby somewhere. And you know, when you're doing something together with your friends, when you're having fun doing what you're doing, no matter how stressful the times are when you're losing, no matter how stressful the times are where things aren't going the way that you want them to, you know, having each other is, you know, the easiest way to get through a rough patch. And I think that's something that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. The people that I work with understand from the beginning that no matter how tough I am and no matter how forward I am at times, that I have always the best interest in mind. I mean, I have been from the very start. I came in as a big brother to 17-year-olds who were being taken advantage of by sponsors. So in that protective sense, because, you know, I always say it, I'm the eldest in my family, I always took that approach of, like, you know, protect the players, as, you know, some of them are airheads, if we're being honest, okay? So, you know, I have to make sure that I offer that little bit of insight. And, you know, it comes with a certain responsibility, right? And Brett, you'll be a really good mentor to some of these people, because some of these kids that are playing for you live in an era in which an entrepreneur spirit lives and has the opportunities to actually become something. So, you know, whether it's a silly that all of a sudden says, you know what, I love tattoos, I'm gonna start tattooing. Like, the opportunity for him to truly stand out and make a living off of that is a possibility just because of the popularity that we as an esports community can sort of, you know, put him in a platform on to do that. So I think that business, more than anything, is one of the main responsibilities that we as figureheads have with all staff members. I've told Matt, my camera guy, several times, I'm like, look, you're going to be my camera guy for as long as you want. But the second that you want to stop doing that, the second you want to stop editing my vlogs, you tell me what you want to do. You tell me where you want to go. And I'm going to try my best to get you a home there. So, you know, having that in mind and having, you know, that sort of, I'm here to help mentality when you approach every single case in esports, I think it's always going to lead you to a good path.
I think that speaks volumes to just kind of how you've built what you have around you. I think it's now with the league coming in, so now we have a bit of a more kind of like a leveled up version of what we're already doing. Obviously, we have a stronger format to support it. With that format, how do you adjust to being able to take your buddies with you, your friends? Like, I mean, Seth is a great example. He's not just your friend, but I think I'm gonna say it. Seth is he's my GOAT for Call of Duty. I know he does. He hasn't won the most chips, but just performance based in each COD that he's played in, he is standout. And it's a close and hard race there in the top top players. But for you and seeing him and developing these other relationships now, because now you have new players, how do you view kind of bringing them into the fold with you? Is it a hard adjustment? Is it easy? Like, as soon as you're in your family, what's the vibe with Huntsman?
No, I wish it was that easy where you're my teammate now. Like, I'll tell him, like, I have your back, right? If you need something, tell me. If there's a problem, tell me. Don't keep it bottled in, because especially if there's a problem and I find out the day of that I have to solve the problem, that's the problem. If you tell me ahead of time and give me time to work with you to figure something out, then that's always going to be the best case scenario. And that's truly what this goes all the way back to the original house in 6050, where, you know, the first thing that I said is like, all right, we're all dudes here. And, you know, this applies to women also, but I'm like, no one can
I was
read
a dude
your...
and I was happy about being a dude when you would say that.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I'm like, no one knows what you're thinking. Nobody, not your mom, nobody knows. So unless you tell or express your feelings, no one's going to know that you're sad. No one's going to know that you're going through a rough patch, and you can't. And in the same side, get mad at somebody for not knowing what's going through you. So that's like the number one disclaimer when people come in here. I'm like, I can't read your mind, and I can't help what I don't know that you need help with. So I think culture is the number one thing. Knowing that we're in this together for a common goal. We're here to make Huntsman the best, not only brand out there, but the best competitive team in the league. And that's something that we're all gonna work towards. I don't mind the losses, because, you know, they give you that scale they give you the comparison of what it feels to lose and how good it feels to win. When you're always constantly winning, I know people hate to say this, and I'm the biggest Michael Jordan fan in the world. It sucks, right? It does get redundant. You need to have those levels, those peaks and valleys, in order to enjoy those wins that much more, right? It's always better when you accomplish something, and when something comes easy to you, can't be fun.
Yeah, I'll
that's well said. We were talking recently with the staff about, you know, for we have several people on the team that have been in either the esports scene or traditional sports, but we have some that are new to either. And so this concept of it feels different when you're winning from losing is new to some people. And we've had some conversations about, you know, we've obviously had some, you know, some success to date. Not necessarily against Chicago, but, you know, we've had some of those conversations philosophically as an organization about how do you adapt content? How does it look different when you do lose, and if you don't finish as high in a tournament as you were hoping for, and starting to think through how some of those things get planned for as an organization. And, you know, I love what you were saying, Hector, about the culture. You know, for us, brand new organization, you know, literally outside of a few people, nobody knew each other, you know, 9 or 10 months ago, right? Ashley and I didn't know each other. Most of our staff didn't know each other. We have a couple people that have worked together at previous stops. But it's, you know, we think a lot about sort of where our organization is building from scratch and brand new, and how different that is. From an organization like yours, where, you know, you've got this group that you have new people coming in, but you also have a lot of folks that have relationships that go back a long ways. And so it's really interesting, just as an observer, to watch how different organizations in the league are doing different things, knowing that everybody is sort of coming from different places.
Yeah. It's important, right? I told Matt that I don't think I would have ever hired a camera guy unless it came highly recommended from somebody else. And Matt came from Deserto, and I'm really good friends with the Deserto guys, known them for close to 7 to 8 years. So when they recommended him, and then Roger recommended him, you know, this is an easy decision to make, right? Josefo, like, I've known that dude for like 5 years. He's done work for us in the past, so that was an easy pickup. It makes it difficult for me, and I'm a weirdo when it comes to stuff like this, but, you know, when your sole job for so many years is to protect a brand that you're spending every single waking moment building, you try to be as protective of that as you possibly can. And, you know, with that sort of mentality, you sort of get accustomed to certain things and you like the way a certain, you know, not only do I not like change, but I'm so set in my ways and the ways that things should be done and how they're going to, you know, how they fare against everything else that we're doing, that it makes it difficult for me to just say, look at a piece of paper and be like, oh, this guy's proficient in Premiere Pro or whatever. Like, I couldn't care less because, you know, the way that we do things is different, right? Like, the way that we, you know, when to record, when to, for example, for Vision, right? For Now the Hunt, the way that we record things, like, is I sit down with the camera guy immediately. I'm like, look, you're going to record everything, but in these very specific moments, you have to understand that your job is on the line, okay? Because if I see the video before it goes live and you made one of the cardinal mistakes, you know, whether in the past it was, you know, somebody having a cigarette in the back or something like that, then we would be in a massive, massive, like, situation. Because as much as somebody has freedom of choice to do whatever they want with their body, and if they want to smoke, smoke, if whatever, as long as it doesn't affect anybody else, it's still sort of not, if that's not a part of their life that they want to show, and that's something that they do just because of where they grew up, how they grew up, habit, foresight, whatever it is, if they don't want that to be a part of their brand, and if we're the ones that mess up and put that on camera, then there's a conversation to be had, right? So I think that no matter how much technical, you know, ability you have in how to film certain stuff, you have to adjust that for this specific space because of the amount of stuff that's going on. I sat down here and I made sure that none of, you know, certain mix amps that are back here aren't shown because we don't have that sponsorship. We're sponsored by a different headset company, right? So I have to, I'm always mindful of this. And as much as I try to train my camera guys, my editors, to always be on the lookout, people just dismiss it. It's just something, it's something that takes years. And, you know, I'm not saying this is, you know, only for esports, this obviously is across everything, but from a culture standpoint, you have so many things to worry about in protecting a brand that you sort of get lost in the one thing, and it's easy to miss the other one. So yeah, culture above anything else is something that's going to carry any brand, any company, anything forward, teams, you name it. Like, you have to almost develop your own language to be able to push forward and reach shit that you wouldn't automatically reach otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's a huge call out. I think as far as, like, establishing culture and what that means and how, like, how does that even fit from whether it's the players on the main stage and how they interact and the trust they have with each other, I think it goes back to the staff. It goes back to the content team. If we're all operating under the same culture, we all have the same goals, and it's established with us, and there is a level, like, to your point, Hector, of almost common sense, or, you know, once you learn the way that we do things or the what we decide to show and what we don't, you know, that's when you really start to all operate as one. And, you know, what comes out, you know, it almost all looks like it's from one person with one voice because of the culture and the identity that you've been able to establish with whether it's the staff, the people recording and editing the videos, or the players on stage. It all works together. And obviously me, like, I went from stream all day, you know, do optic stuff, show up, like, hang out, have a good time, to, like, being on the other side of the coin now with, like, hey, let's get this machine going. I know how to, I think, and let's do it, you know? And it's been interesting to see how do we bring, to Brett's point, all these different people who, some of them have esports experience, some of them don't, some of them have traditional sports experience, all that stuff. How do we put everyone together and make this thing go? And it's been quite an interesting thing to be a part of a new brand and a new culture as it's literally being born.
Yeah, it's so difficult to explain to other people how this thing rolls, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like, if you put Hitch, for example, into this sort of example, right? If you use Hitch as an example, you see somebody that was a fan of Optic.
Yep.
Started creating content for a website, sort of like Matt, right? He came from, I think it was
G Fuel. I don't remember. Oh, no, it was like UMG and G Fuel or something like that.
ESN, was it? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, Esports Network.
Was it?
Something like that. Whatever, he was all over the place.
Yeah, this dude, like, came on and worked for us for about a year. Nobody knew his name. He was just the guy behind the camera. I had the same joke with him that I had with Matt, where I ask him a question and if he's holding the camera and he talks, I'd be like, you know the rule, you can't talk on the camera. And then I would like trick him into doing that over and over again. And from the beginning, I told him, like, listen, you're joining us, but you're not in Optic, okay? Like, you're joining this thing. You're joining this thing, but you're not a part of that team, right? And the reason I did that is because I wanted him to understand that once you accomplish something, once you get to the level that you join something that you wanted to join for a very long time, the work still continues, right? So where in my head, he had already joined, the official sort of title was never given to him until he earned it. And this dude went from literally, you know, just creating content behind the camera to ESL One New York, where it was him at the bottom of the floor and had a line from the bottom of the floor, from the floor seats all the way to the top, of a line of kids and dudes just wanted to take a picture with him because he knows him from the content. And had I not done it that way, I don't think that he would have ever gotten to the point that he is today, simply because, you know, I tend to look at people and see their strengths and see their possibilities. And then from there, we sort of have to make it work to where it doesn't ever get to their heads. The one thing that I always did a really good job at, whether it's good or bad, is I always and have never to this day stopped talking shit to any of my superstars. Right? I never ever stop. You talk to NateChat, shit talking still there. Fwiz, head of global gaming at Google, I talked to him like I talked to him when he and I were in his Honda in Ohio, riding through the streets looking at graffiti. You know what I mean? Like that sort of level, like you not allowing success get to somebody's head is the best thing that you could ever do for their well-being, right? Not even just for their persona online, but for their well-being, because putting yourself on a pedestal, drinking your own juice is never a good thing, ever. And as much as I'd like to consider myself a goofball, I take myself serious enough to understand that letting anything change you is just the complete opposite of what you will always work for. It just will, you'll never reach true happiness if you change on the way to become what you want to become, right? You won't end up as happy as you would have if you're still that same little boy from Juarez that wanted to do something. You know what I mean? And that to me is, like, again, the priority always. Like, the responsibility is taking care of them, making sure that they wash their clothes and clean their fucking rooms. But at the same time, it's also the fact that you have to make sure that they're doing the right things on their quest to reach a goal and be happy reaching it.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing point. I think allowing people to tap into what makes them successful, but not allowing them to tap in too much into themselves so that they only have that self-centered view of, like, yep, oh, well, this can't help me. Or, yeah, I'm the best. I don't need to, I live by my own accord, which, you know, I think you having the leadership capabilities and the stuff that, like, I've seen you have, not only with me and other people, I think it allows them to know that because you do still have that same level of, like, you know, realness with them, that, hey, you're still my little brother that I'm going to talk smack to. You're still human, basically. You're still kind of in that spot with me. Shifting gears.
Well, the other thing is like, during the course of what we built, like, I've known you for 10 years. In those 10 years, I would have found out whether or not you were fake or whether or not you were a bad person. You know, there's 10 years is a long time for you to get to know a true someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that has always been a thing. And, you know, that same thing can be said about a brand, right? That same thing can be said about a team. If in 10 years there's no real drama that happens out there, like, it goes to show, like, it speaks loud. It you don't even have to say it, right? You don't even have to say it, it just is. So for me, that's always been, like, super important. When for the longest time, I was the only one with the password to our old Twitter account. And the reason for that was because, as you were saying earlier, it has to be one voice. And you can't fake that, right? Like, the number one thing that we have been doing lately is to let our social media team understand that they are delivering a message. It's not their message. They're delivering a message of the Huntsman. They can never put any of their own tone into it. They can never have a thought on our messaging or on any that, like, they're here to do a job and be a part of a of 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 the infrastructure that's going to build this thing into that. But the voice that comes out of the Huntsman is always going to be Scumps. It's always going to be Arcides. Like, when you read Huntsman, you have to be able to always read it in the voice of the actual people that are wearing and are competing out there and working for the brand, right? Like, that's always the Huntsman has to have its own voice that's built out of the tones of every single member in it, but never the thoughts and feelings of someone who's delivering a message, if that makes any sense.
No, it definitely does. I think that's one of the most important things, that, and that goes back to why, I mean, it's you can't even like teach culture, really. It's something that those people need to experience every day and understand, oh, this is why we do these things, and this is why we say them that way, because it reflects top to bottom. It reflects from the person who maybe just got hired 2 weeks ago, who's, you know, becoming a part of this, to the player who, you know, our first player we signed, and how they look at the world and how they compete and how we get that message across. I think it's important.
Yeah, it has to be.
It's been really interesting as we've, you know, every time we've added somebody to the staff, you know, we started out really not that long on the grand scheme of things. It was just Ashley and I, and then we brought on Annie, who's our head of marketing. And, you know, now we've been, you know, we've been ramping up staffing pretty quickly since then. But we've been, you know, Annie uses the phrase, we've been building the plane while flying it, right? We're staffing up at the same time that we're establishing an organization. You know, we've got some people like Ashley that, you know, that know the competitive COD scene really well. Others like myself and others that we've hired that are new to it and are learning a tremendous amount. But everybody's sort of putting their, you know, putting their bit into what that personality of the brand is. You know, and it, I like the way you phrased how that, you know, how that voice of the Huntsman presents itself. There was a point where I had a conversation with someone on our staff who had posted something, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something where it was sort of our Twitter handle talking to the player, to one of our players, in a way that made it sound like they're not one and the same. Exactly. Right? So the conversation was, oh no, there it is. We, the player, exactly. It's not like
we, not them.
It's not like, hey, you, good job. No, like, the players are part of the we. They are the we. They're the we more than anything else is.
Yeah. But the trick there, from a psychological standpoint, is to make the person typing we understand that they're not them. You know what I mean? So it's so complex. And I don't want to make it sound super complex, because it literally is a balancing act every single time you're trying to deliver a message. Every single time you're anywhere, like, you always have to make sure that you understand that you are part of something, right? You're a part, you're representing a team, right? I don't want to ever be, you know, in a position where somebody puts words in my mouth, then they're on my team, right? Because we're a part of the team. And I don't know, it's that balancing act that you're always going to have to be on the lookout for. And it's good. It's good training just for just about anything. And it builds that culture that you're going to need, again, to be able to push this thing to the next level.
Yeah. What are the really interesting things? And, you know, Ashley, this is sort of a question for you, but one of the really interesting things for us as an organization is that, you know, Gary's content philosophy is very different from, frankly, what organizations that I was a part of on the NFL side, though I wasn't content specific. But it was very different from organizations that I had been involved in the past. And, you know, and I think for you know, Ashley as well, a little bit different coming in, where, you know, Gary's philosophy is give everybody the keys to the car, right? Like, we have interns that, you know, that are posting on Twitter every day. And it, you know, it makes it all the more important to have a coherent philosophy on what that brand voice is. And it's something that we've been working toward since since we came into being as an organization, and we're still, you know, it's still something that we're trying to figure out even day to day. But it is interesting that, you know, to see us as an organization take Gary's philosophies and meld them with what different people have done and experienced at different stops along the way in their careers.
Yeah, and I think in esports, more than anything, it's one of the most important things And I guess it sort of falls back into the place where you have to always do the right thing, because it always comes back to bite you in the ass in this space. If you mess up in any way, it'll always come back. If you don't treat somebody the way that a human should be treated, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass. If you use all of the rocker power and you sort of retweet an intern's tweet and you're sort of putting the rocker fan base on that intern, and then that intern doesn't get hired at the end of it, now he has not only the ears of your fans, right, that he can talk shit about your whole brand too, that he was mistreated unfairly, or that he was mistreated. But you get the point, right? Yeah. So it's, again, the balancing act above anything else is super important, which is why it's always easier. And obviously, I had to force myself into thinking that way, because we didn't have staff for like 10 years, right? So for us, it was always like, for me, it was always like, all right, well, I can't give this guy this much power or this much spotlight, because we don't know. We don't know where it's going. That's why I always made it just like a simple family vibe, because it was a family. It was always like, we're in this together. This is us. Anything that happens affects everybody together. And that's why it was so easy for me to sort of have the team that I have to build what we built, because we were always in it together forever. And we never let anybody in. You know, it took a very special circumstance in order for something to be allowed to come into our home and experience the behind the scenes the way that they experienced it, right? Because it's, again, at any point, any single thing can go wrong and it's bad, you know, like it's a bad thing. And when you are sort of at the mercy of a community, it makes it that much harder for you to be fake. So it's always easier to just start out by being you. And if people like you and people appreciate what you're doing, then awesome. If not, maybe one day they will. And that's what you play for.
That's been one of the things that has really excited me the most about kind of the opportunity and the path that I've taken now. I mean, it's even crazy to think, like, a year ago I was living in Texas and didn't even know that this, like, you know, I knew the league was going towards where the league was going with franchising and stuff, but I had no idea, like, Minnesota would get a team. It would coincide with when I'd moved back, and it would involve me applying so many of the things that I didn't know I was being trained, or I mean, I knew I was always learning from you, but I never thought, oh, I'm gonna need to apply this one day, and like, let's freaking go. Like, I just, you know, you never know how it's gonna turn out. So it's been pretty insane just for me in my shoes, the whirlwind that the whole last year has been and what it kind of just means to you know, build things up. There's different ways to do things. I think, you know, the Gary V model is online all the time and
exhausting.
It's exhausting, and that's why one person can't do it. So we do have to have, you know,
100 pieces of content a day. We're not quite there, but we're working towards it.
Yeah,
it's a lot. I think we're trying a lot of different things, though, because we're so new, and because like you and your brand, like, you guys have like an established kind of way that you do things, and I think that there are so many great things about that. But for me, and obviously transitioning and doing the Gary way of doing things, where it's, we're always on, we're answering, we're replying, we're mixing it up with what we're putting out. It's like two different sides of the coin that I've kind of had to, you know, flip one way and pick a lane. And it's been really fun. It's been so crazy to just be a part of something so, like, I guess, novel. Like, we're literally forming the brand as it's being built, flying the plane while we're, or building the plane while
building
we're flying
the plane
it.
While you're flying,
yeah. Yep, in Annie's words. So I think it's been kind of crazy just for me, for you and where you stand, obviously having your formula to success, which I've seen you take the same formula that you've been doing the last 10 years and already applying it to Chicago Huntsman, to that brand, to things that NRG is doing as well. What do you see for the Call of Duty League in the next, you know, little bit as it's just starting out? I mean, the whole league is just starting out. So what do you see being like the key to success for you? Is it adjusting anything you've done, or is it keeping it the same baseline of, we know this works, let's do it?
Well, it's difficult, right? Because now, unlike any other time in my life, I am a part of a bigger thing, right? I'm a part of a league where every team's success benefits me the same way that my success benefits them. And all of our wagons are hitched to this one thing, and we need to make it work. So building the plane as it's flying, or flying the plane as we're building it, is like the esports way, right? Like, we see what traditional sports has been doing. We've seen what traditional sports has been doing for such a long time that we have to sort of force ourselves to say, we see the blueprint, but we can't. We can take parts of it, but we cannot allow ourselves to go full traditional sports. Some things don't apply to this thing, right? If anything, traditional sports are learning more from us in this day and age than we from them, because we don't have, up until the last couple of years, concessions and all this other stuff that makes a sports team go around don't necessarily apply to us. The reasons that we're in a position right now to continue with the league is because we can play from anywhere in the world as long as we have good connectivity. Basketball, football, hockey, I mean, you name it, they're all gone for the time being. And who knows when they're going to be coming back, right? Building the plane as we fly it is the way that we've always done it. So for us, it's a thing of nature, right? It's the way we grew up. The comfort level that we experience when we're doing this is just something. It's a way of life, honestly. And not fixing what's not broken is like something that you have to always pay attention to. Like, I know that if I put a camera in front of anybody on my team, right? Anybody on my team, you have a trained professional who has had a camera in front of them for the past 10 years every single day, right? So no matter how much schooling you get in multimedia, no matter how much editing experience you get, how many programs you learn, but that's not going to win you awards. What's going to win you awards is the talent that you have within you and your ability to tell a story that the way that you want to. I gave Hitch a $5,000 camera for like 4 years. Didn't give him any assistance, any second camera, any second person editor doing that. And he edited throughout the night. I mean, you obviously saw it, right? Firsthand, but like that allowed him to win back-to-back videographer of the year, not a $10,000 camera, not a, you know, $15,000 microphone and a crew of 14. You know, he was one camera guy. I would help with the drone shots maybe once in a while, but you know, putting yourself in a position to where you have to try your hardest in every single turn is always going to give you the rewards that you want, because you're trying your hardest and you're giving it your all. And whether or not that piece of content succeeds or not, whether that championship comes or not, at least you try. At least from a content perspective, you have something that you created, something tangible that you can be proud of. You know, this piece of artwork, this montage that I made, this documentary that I made, this vlog that I made, that's a physical, tangible thing that you can be proud of. Whether it gets a million views or not, it doesn't matter. That's a bonus, right? The goal is the creative process. The goal is the creative execution. The goal is the championship. Whether or not you get there or not, as long as you have something, whether it's content or whether it's a post that made somebody feel a certain way, that's what matters. That's what's going to make a team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Hector, I 100% agree with you on the point that I think traditional sports has just as much, if not more, to learn from esports than the other way around. And, you know, obviously my background was in the NFL, same with our ownership group. But coming into it, we tried to take the mentality from day one that we knew we didn't have all the answers. And if we tried to just take a traditional sports blueprint and just plop it right down in with this team, that was not going to be successful. And, you know, mm-hmm. we tried to find the right balance every step along the way in who we've hired. You know, obviously getting Ashley on board as our first hire was amazing.
Yeah.
But then trying to find the right group of staff that brought together all these different perspectives, whether it was from traditional sports, from esports. We've hired some great people from outside of either that just bring a totally different perspective to the table.
Yeah.
And then we tell everybody checks their egos at the door, right? Whether you're the COO or the intern or anything in between, and that's what we see as a new brand trying to create, you know, our opportunity for success is finding the right, you know, the right approach and the right things that work from each different space.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys, it's clear that you guys are doing it right. The right way. And for me, again, it all boils down to not allowing yourself to be lost in the esports is a sport. Therefore, successful sports management, rules and regulations have to apply to this thing. It just doesn't work that way, right? Like, even the way that we consume content is no longer the same way that people have consumed content for the past 50 years, right? And when people say, it's like, is esports ever going to get as big, if not bigger than sports? Without a doubt. I mean, look at where we're at right now in the last, call it 5 years, okay? And I'm being generous here from a legitimate standpoint of esports turning into a sports. The league franchises, the contracts, the anything that makes anything legitimate, right? If we've been able to build what we've been able to build in the last 5 years, imagine where we're going to be in 10. Imagine where we're going to be in 15. Tools are, like, everything sort of speeds up the second that somebody starts thinking a different way. If the second that we got the iPhone in our hands, now we were able to do absolutely anything, right? It's always a matter of the now and what tools are available for us to do now. And I'm not saying that, you know, that traditional sports are not ever going to continue to be as successful. Obviously they will. There's a strong culture and there's a strong point to be made as how successful they've been in the last, call it, 100 years, right? Or whatever. But you look at esports and you truly see something happening there, right? Like, the audience is already there, right? If you look at the Dallas Mavericks, the American Airlines Center for the Mavs can fit 25,000 people, I think, right? I upload a vlog and it's got 60,000 views overnight, 100,000 views overnight. That's five stadiums filled with people that watch one guy. When you look at traditional sports and when you look at esports, like, the numbers are there. Will they get better? Obviously, right? It's just a matter of growth. People aren't going to stop playing video games the same way people aren't going to stop playing basketball and exercising, you know? So for me, I think it's just a matter of putting our heads down, continue to go down the path. And yes, look at the blueprint of what's been successful in the past, the processes when it comes to concessions and seats and t-shirts and this, that, and the other, and apply it to what we're doing, but don't apply it all the way, right? Like, take out the broken pieces that we no longer need, right? Like, take that out of the way and reinvent something and pay something back to the people that created the first blueprint. Give them something, and, you know, and that's happening, right? The way that we're managing social media, the way that kids are managing social media will eventually make sense to the way that sports manage their social media. So, you know, in a way, we're sort of now teaching each other something, and that's always the goal, repaying by teaching something that will help anybody out.
Yeah, it's been...
Yeah, that's really well said. You know, when you think about the potential growth here too, I mean, you sort of referenced it, the NFL just had their 100th season, and they weren't the dominant player in the American sports scene. Really, they didn't eclipse baseball until, you know, the 80s or 90s, and they weren't even really, you know, top five until probably the 60s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are not, you know, year, obviously, like, we're all in the trenches year to year, day to day, event to event. But when people ask that question, can esports be as big as traditional sports? I mean, you're right. On some levels, the numbers are already there. But it's, you know, it's where will it be in 10 years, in 15 years, in 20 years? And that's really one of the things that really gives me confidence that Call of Duty specifically can get there is the competition is just it's so exciting and it's so intense.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll admit, until I took this role, I hadn't, you know, I'd watched esports and consumed it as an observer and as sort of an interested party from a business standpoint. But now, having gone to these events, and when I'm watching it, I watch it through the lens of really a fan. I'm just, I'm just consuming it really no different than a fan would be. And I mean, what we're seeing in our matches is every bit as exciting as what you're seeing with any traditional sport. I mean, the competition's intense. The players are competitive and are going all out and they're passionate. And those are the things that fundamentally, when I think about where this league can go, that gives me the faith that it can continue to grow exponentially, especially for us in a market here that, you know, that hasn't had big time esports in the past. You know, the product, I think the foundation of it is really strong.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely there. I think one thing that's really interesting to me, obviously, as of late, we've talked about it a little bit on the podcast, but obviously this global pandemic is happening. Hector, how are you and your family, by the way? You guys doing
really good?
Doing well?
Everyone's good.
Everyone's
yeah,
going
thank
through
you.
It? Okay,
yeah.
good. I'm glad everyone's.
Judith's parents are in Chicago. The mom, her mom went back to visit and close out a couple of things that she needed to do for her move. She needed to sell her house, whatever it was. And she got stuck there. She hasn't
hasn't
been back since, I don't know, since this thing started. My parents haven't gone anywhere really since this thing started. You know, my siblings and I sort of split responsibilities on when and who goes shopping. Anytime somebody goes shopping, call mom, call dad, see if they need anything, and then you drop it off.
Yeah.
Food too, right? We pick up food all the time, so
yeah.
it's good. But everyone's good. Everyone's
good.
Thank you.
I'm glad. And luckily, you know, same for my family, helping out. You know, my grandma
good.
Needs something, I get something. My sister needs something, I get her something. But
yeah.
In terms of how this impacts like my everyday, I feel super, super like fortunate to even still be able to work during this time, because I know not everybody has that same liberty. But us as
yeah.
an esport, Call of Duty esports, because, you know, obviously, ideally, you want the competition to happen on LAN. That's where it's the most
yeah.
competitively sound. But we can still compete. We can still function online. And right now, what I've noticed is, you know, you have these pro athletes getting more involved in the esports side of things, playing with these pro players, getting interested in it because they have the time and the resources to do so. So I think, like, other people that aren't just in our normal realm of people that love to watch these events are starting to take notice even more so. So even though like we were already going down this path of gaining more and more legitimacy as we're going, but now since, you know, regular sports are on pause for right now, we're still functioning.
Yeah.
I think this is a unique time where we're able to kind of showcase ourselves a little bit and show, hey, we're competition. And it's just as real as you know, any other form of competition. It's just in this game, Call of Duty, that everybody knows.
Yeah. It's a brain beat another brain. It's competition. Gladiators, right? Minus the blood and gore. Well, in some cases, but you know what I'm saying. It's
yeah.
it's something that has become a, I don't know, a pop culture phenomenon now, right? Like if you look, the second that the NBA got shut down, immediately everybody that has played video games and has played Call of Duty immediately is like, well, I have nothing to do and I like esports. Why don't I see who's available? And then you have these moments where, you know, you sort of are crossing cultures and it becomes a thing. You know, some people recognize the athletes, some people don't, and some of the athletes' fans recognize the streamer and some don't, but nonetheless, like it's a coming together of communities through something that we sort of built in the last decade or so. Super cool to see.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's also cool to point out, I think, like a lot of the superstar athletes that you see now, I mean, we just had the NFL draft. Those kids are like 20, 21, right? Like they grew up maybe watching, you know, esports Call of Duty videos and,
yeah.
and seeing this content, so they know what it is.
Yep.
The new generation that's growing up with them are going to look at them as the stars, but they, you know, oh, also, you know, Ben Simmons likes to in his off time play Call of Duty. Oh, let's watch him stream. Like it's a new thing seeing people like Trevor May from the Minnesota
yep.
Twins like streaming and building his brand and, you know, understanding that yes, he's a pro athlete, he's the man, he's super talented, but there's this other interest there. There's this other form of competition and entertainment, and I think it's just the beginning, which is crazy because you and I have been, you know, knee deep in this thing for 10 years, but to just feel like we're only at the jump or the start point is really exciting.
Amen. I was talking to a business partner of mine and I was thinking, I'm like, I can't see myself doing anything else ever. You know, like I like playing Call of Duty as much as I like playing basketball, even in my condition right now, like I still shoot a three and cross anybody over, right? After that play, who knows what happens, but I'm good for that one play.
I need to see you and Gary one on one.
Yeah, I think he's got me on cardio, but
nah,
I think I can
contest.
Cross him. Oh, that no chance that he beats me in a 3-point contest. Zero chance. And well, there's a chance, but unlikely. And again, you know, being so young, or the space being so young, in the grand scheme of things, you know, we are at 10%. in a time perspective that the NFL is, and look at how far along we are already, right? Like we've already developed in certain scenes, you know, leagues and processes that need to be made in order to take care of an athlete, you know, and we're dealing with the same sort of age bracket that traditional sports do. So, you know, understanding the responsibility that comes with that is super, super like important, because it is your job to make sure that everybody that's with you is as successful as you are, you know, in their own way.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, it's interesting for us being a team that's in a market, you referenced it before, but in a market that hasn't had esports before and building the brand from the ground up. You know, we talk a lot about reaching fans that are huge fans of the game Call of Duty, but for whatever reason, haven't engaged with the esports product in the past. It hasn't landed on their radar. They didn't, you know, they didn't have a team to cheer for, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We've started to, we have a handful of people that have come to our events or come to our watch parties where they fit that mold. And actually I think some of our most passionate fans that we interact with on a regular basis fit that description. But it's really interesting. You know, would love your perspective on, you know, if you were starting a team and you didn't have the built-in fan base that the Huntsman obviously had, mm-hmm. with the fans that are loyal to, you know, to yeah. you and the other and the organization, like, are there things that you would have done differently if you were starting it from scratch and you had zero fans and zero people that knew the brand or knew you?
Well, we did, right? 10, 16 years, 13 years ago, we did, right? We were starting that. In this case scenario, obviously we've been as successful as we have been because of 10 years of work, because of 10 years of a long lasting relationship with the people that follow us. But if I, you know, if I had to start a brand new, I mean, I did, but if I had to do it without that, I would always just make it about what it truly is, right? Competition and having fun. Unlike any other space out there, I think that esports has the ability to lend itself to be more than just a team, more than just a one-sided coin that you know, as a Call of Duty player, it would be a disservice to only allow our players to play Call of Duty, right? Imagine if they weren't allowed to play Warzone. Imagine if they weren't allowed to play Minecraft. Imagine if they were like, you know, the expansion and the ability to sort of play anything and everything that's available lends itself to bring in audiences from somewhere else. Even if they're not Call of Duty fans for whatever reason, as long as they're a fan of the personality, as long as they're a fan of the person that they're doing it, it makes it an easier marriage of cultures, right? Because no matter what, at the end of the day, if someone's relatable, or if you can put yourself out there enough to where people know not only your name, your wife's name, your daughter's name, but every single one of your dog's names, then you're winning. And people are going to want to see you succeed because they know you. You may not know them, right? But they know you. And, you know, again, throughout 10 years, throughout 11 years, throughout 13 years, you have a very good opportunity to see who this person truly is. And if you start out, like I said, if you start out as a fake, if you start out as you pretending to be somebody that you're not, it's impossible to keep that up. So if you just start out by being honest with everybody, especially yourself, right? Especially yourself, I think that you're always going to have like that mentality. And I think if I could do it all over again, I wouldn't change anything. I think nothing. I've learned a lot. And because of that, I wouldn't change anything, right? I'm not going to make the same mistakes that I've made in the past, whether it's player relations or business relations, like no matter what it is, it's just, it's only a failure when you learn anything from your experiences. So I don't know if you're asking, you know, for in this day and age, what I would do differently if I didn't have a scumpy, if I didn't have a formal and I started from the beginning, I would have gone after, you know, pros from other first person shooters in other communities. To develop that storyline, to develop that, oh, I wonder how they're going to do. It's like, oh, all eyes are on this team because they have Halo pros, and that, like, that differentiating yourself from everybody else is always going to be like a key component, right? You know, luckily for you guys have big personalities already on the team. Was that you guys? Sorry. I just started this massive subscription thing. So you guys have good personalities. You guys have, you know, a culture of Call of Duty behind you guys. You have obviously Gary V, which is obviously a win in any scenario. You have Ashley, who has been, you know, part of a team that was successful for as long as it was. So I think, from a culture perspective, I think you guys have all the right keys and you know, tools to make it what it should be.
I think it's all about, even though we're the new kids on the block, we're really not with the ideals that we hold. I think utilizing content and, you know, making sure that if, yo, Davis, what's good?
She says hi.
What up? Tell him I love him.
She loves you. He loves you.
Awesome. Shout out to Davis, aka Hitch a Ride. I think content's how you get there, man. That's how you connect those dots. That's how, you know, some dude in Minnesota who plays COD on the weekends with his buds, he finds out we have a team. Oh, who's our team? Oh, who's cool to watch? How do I learn from them? What's their class setup? It's all about getting them in and on board with the content. So I really appreciate you coming on, Hector. I know we've gone a bit over.
Well, one thing on that before you kick me off.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, listen.
The beauty about you know, city-based programs like this one is that those people who are going to be cheering for you have friends online that are from Tennessee who don't have a team to cheer for. And because they're part of the same team, they're going to be at some point or another, they're going to be like, all right, let's all cheer for the same team. You know what I mean? Or like if this guy continues, he's like, dude, watch this clip. Silly's fucking hilarious. Right. Look at Asim. He's hilarious. And then they're like, oh, shit, that is funny. Oh, man, I like him. Oh, now I'm a fan of that team. That's how you develop your fan base, by doing those specific steps. The more that you have people in front. And I hate when people give up super easily. Right. I hate when people. And I hate when teams and orgs give up on their content strategy because they didn't get 10,000 views immediately. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I hate when they look at the amount of money that's being made on YouTube and put that number against what it's costing them to make that number, because you never know when that is going to bang. And when that hits, then everything that you would have otherwise done would have seemed fucking silly to do it so early.
Yep.
You know, like it's just not the way that things are, especially in the internet, especially when all people want is a way to escape from whatever. And if you can get those 10 minutes, which seem like nothing, but mean a lot, then you're doing the right thing. The reason that, you know, I love making a video. The way that I tell everybody is that I love having coffee with the people that watch me. Even though I'm not having coffee, they are. And if I'm their coffee companion, if I'm their voice on the way to work, if the Eavesdrop podcast gives them 1 hour of aloofness for whatever, then I've done my job. And that's what I play for, right? Like getting, you know, playing for money, making a living and all that is awesome. But again, as I was saying earlier, at the end of the day, if you create something and you have something tangible that people, no matter how many, no matter how low or high, get to see it and get entertained, that's what you play for. That's the tangible thing that you'll never, ever, ever. Like I draw nonstop. Do I get paid to draw? No, but I created something, and that's my happiness, right? The ability to create something that some people are going to enjoy, especially me. So,
yeah. Well said.
That's awesome. Before you wrap, Hector, I just want to say, you know, so much respect for you and everything that you've built and you know, the work that's gone into getting the scene to where it is today, and truly all the respect in the world and so much appreciation.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Same for me. Thanks for instilling in me, you know, just the confidence and the ideas that you have. I still miss you guys. I miss seeing you guys as often as I do. Hopefully soon, whether it's the end of this year, obviously next season, we'll be seeing each other pretty hopefully often at events, because I miss it. But yeah, thanks again for coming. I know we've taken more
Brett,
time.
You owe me a podcast. You got to come on my podcast now.
Yes.
I've already had Ashley. Right?
I've been on the Eavesdrop, yes. I was episode like 21 or something like that. I even remember the episode. I've listened to all of them and been a part of it.
Right.
You got it. I'll admit I listened to several of your podcasts when we were first starting out. I've listened to a lot of yours.
Turn.
Yeah. Anytime
it's our turn to hear your story, bro.
Yeah, anytime you're in Dallas, you gotta hit up Hector, get to Frisco, or even maybe at one of the events we'll set up an impromptu setup and have it.
Yep.
And you're
if I wouldn't have the coronavirus when I was at your event, by the way.
Yeah.
I would have had a podcast with Gary Vee already, and I think with you too, because that was the plan.
Dude,
every single homestand that I went to, I wanted to do a podcast with the ownership group,
mm-hmm.
You know, to sort of talk shop. So
yeah.
Hopefully that comes back soon. But if not, obviously we have Discord as we do today.
Yes.
So thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Send me all the info when this goes live. I'd like to push it.
Of course. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And yeah, obviously anytime you're in or around Minnesota or, you know, there's another event up here, you're always, always welcome at Rocker HQ once it's obviously back up and running. Everyone's working remote from now. But yeah, I really appreciate you coming on. This won't be our last podcast. How many podcasts have I done with you? We've done podcasts in 2010. And now 2020, we've done, I don't even remember how many at this point. I came there with Amanda. You did Power Down. I really appreciate it. I love how much you love doing podcasts.
What about Amanda? 100,000. Shout out to her.
Shout out to Amanda the Jedi. Hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. And like 50,000 of them were from the last like 4 months. She's been
insane.
Crushing
I'm so happy for her.
That's my friend right there. All right. I love Jedi. Anyway, I'll wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you'd like to watch this, you can view it on our YouTube channel. We upload the video format every time. And then obviously anywhere that you can listen to podcasts, you can hear us. Look up Building Minnesota Rocker on iTunes, Spotify, or check out our Anchor. And you can find even more places to listen. Anyway, shout out to you for listening. This was an extra long one and an extra good one. Appreciate you, Hector. Thank you,
anytime.
Brett. Catch you guys next time.
Thank you.